Answer my question! The question, jerk!
Hey, listen, nerds. It's time for another Two-Headed Nerd Answer of the Week podcast with Joe and Matt.
Welcome to another THN Answer of the Week. My name is Matt Baum. I'm one of the hosts of the Two-Headed Nerd comic book podcast. You can find me at Matt Baumstein on the Twitter, where I am constantly spouting nonsense and bullshit. Somebody said that I never say anything on Twitter. I think that's complete crap.
Yeah, that was this week's question asker.
Yeah. Dee Murray, right?
Dee Murray.
Son of a... Across from me, digitally, again this time, his name is Joe Patrick. Say hi, Joe. Tell him where they
can find
you.
Whose fault is that? Mister, I got things to do.
It was nobody's fault. I was just saying you're not here.
What are you going to do? I don't know.
They don't want to hear us fight like this. Come on.
Yeah, they do.
Where do they find you on the Twitter?
I'm at JoePatrick116 sometimes.
That's pretty cool. So here's
most of the time I'm at Two-Headed Nerd.
That's
so
true.
So if you see at Two-Headed Nerd, it's probably me.
Probably Joe most of the time. What we do here is we listen to your answers to the question of the week. What's the question of the week, you ask? Why, it's simple. Joe Patrick posts the question of the week on the THN forums every Sunday, and then you can call us at 402-819-4894 or email us at twoheadednerd@gmail.com with an MP3 of your answer. It must be 2 minutes. It must be the answer to the appropriate question. You can only have one answer, not four or five, just one. But if you meet all those criteria, we will play your answer on this show. But before we can start doing so, I need Joe Patrick, our head questioner, to reset the question for us.
Well, it's the 20th anniversary of Amalgam Comics.
True that.
1996 to 2016.
Which makes me feel old as hell.
Yeah, dude.
20 damn years.
And so, Dee Murray, Answer of the Week regular, suggested the question. He wanted the listeners to come up with their own amalgams.
Amalgams.
Their own amalgams.
Okay.
Do I really need to get into what amalgam is?
Yeah, just set it up for them. For those who, you know, I mean, real quick.
For those of you that may not have heard of it, 20 years ago, Marvel and DC teamed up for an event called, appropriately, Marvel versus DC.
This is back when they were still speaking to each other and not pretending that the other one didn't exist, but aping each other secretly.
Right. Sometimes called DC versus Marvel, depending on which issue you're looking at.
Right.
And the premise of DC versus Marvel was that there was some sort of cosmic battle that necessitated characters from each universe to fight. And there was a winner chosen by fan vote. So, you know, it was total bull. but it didn't matter because the end result was
silly.
The two universes smashing together for what was essentially a fifth week event called Amalgam Comics, where the universes were combined, not in the same, not just in the way that, like, holy cow, now Spider-Man lives just down the street from Superman.
Right.
No, it's like you stirred sugar into your iced tea and it became something different.
Okay.
You know,
clever.
Or whatever.
Like
That's
that.
Not a perfect analogy,
That's
but
clever.
You know what I mean. They were combined on a molecular level.
Right.
So you took two characters like Batman and Wolverine, you smashed them together, and you came up with a new character called Darkclaw.
Batverine. Oh, yeah, Darkclaw. Sorry. That's right.
So, yeah, and then they just kind of went off from there, just doing these really wacky stories about this shared universe that didn't really exist with this long history of events that supposedly happened to these characters, but didn't really, because this was the first time we were reading about them. So you right. had a mashup of Spider-Man and Superboy called Spider-Boy. You had Captain America and Superman merged together to form Super Soldier. Et cetera, et cetera. You get the gist. You can go on Wikipedia and look up the rest.
Oh, it's definitely worth your time, too.
So Dee Murray says, make your own amalgams and let's compare them.
Let's party. It's the 90s all over again. Normally in this part of the show, we would introduce the cocktail of the week. So what we'll do, we promise it'll be back this week. Joe and I will sit down together this week. We'll have another cocktail. Don't worry. It's coming back.
We already have one suggested by JD Gotta Catch 'Em All.
That's right. It's going to be good. Right now, let's go to Black Scorpion the Three, our first caller of the week. Technically not our first, but we're giving him number one. It's not important.
She is the last daughter of a dying planet full of squirrels, Squirrelon. Jettisoned to Earth and finding new powers, she now lives her life as Dora Zorin, the Super Squirrel. Adopted by Earth parents, she discovered that she had superpowers of flight and invulnerability. Those powers would later be diminished after the U.S. government extracted DNA and ran tests to create their own super soldier serum. Although her Earth cousin, the Super Soldier, would eventually gain her powers and rise to great esteem in the Amalgam universe, Super Squirrel created her own arsenal based on Squirrelon technology. A tail, knuckle spike, and communication with other squirrels. Despite her meek appearance and lesser reputation than her cousin the Super Soldier, Super Squirrel has used her abilities quite effectively in battle, defeating Coltron, the Hellfire League of Injustice, Galactiac and his Herald, the Silver Eraser, and even Thanoside. Those battles were all witnessed by Hymron and Uatu the Guardian, both of whom verify that clones and time stream anomalies were not involved in her victories. It was just Super Squirrel and her frequent companion, Streaky the Squirrel. At one time, she donned an armored costume and took the name Flame Squirrel, but that was only for a brief time battling super soldiers based on Squirrelon DNA. Sadly, Super Squirrel is no longer with us as she died in the events of Secret Crisis.
What is that music?
It was the Spice Girls, dude.
Wow. Super Squirrel, a mashup of Supergirl and Squirrel Girl.
I kind of love it. Squirrel.
Black Scorpion's got a real hate going for Squirrel Girl the last couple weeks.
No. That wasn't Black Scorpion. That was Anthony currently in Brooklyn.
Was it?
Yeah.
All right.
Because I agreed with him. No, I think Scorpion may have done that. All right. Just to honk Anthony off. That's my guess.
Hey, I love it too.
Those two, they used to be tag team partners, but you know. One of them turned heel. I think it was Black Scorpion turned heel, and now he's a bad guy. You know how it goes. It's wrestling, man.
All of the characters other than Super Squirrel and Streaky the Squirrel that Black Scorpion mentioned were real Amalgam characters.
Yeah, it was amazing. It was really good.
Super Soldier, Coltron, Hellfire League of Injustice, Galactiac, Silver Racer, Thanoside, Hymron, Uatu the Guardian, and Secret Crisis, which was their own Amalgam event.
Totally impressive. Very nicely done, sir. Always
well researched for sure.
Definitely. We appreciate your time. Camarillo Brillo, Mr. Carl Smith hits us with an MP3. He is the host of the Goad Kicker podcast. I think it's called Goad Kicker, the podcast. Check it out. It's good stuff.
I think this episode, he promised the origin of his goad kicking.
Oh, cool.
Hey, Joe and Matt, this is Carl Smith over in Council Bluffs calling in on this Amalgam topic. I sort of remember these coming out when I was in college. I don't really remember any specifics, but when you said Darkclaw, it blew my mind because I just got like a rush of weird, non-specific nostalgia with that. And I can't tell you if I like those comics or not, but I do have an idea that I always thought would be kind of cool. More as an analog, but since we're going to go full-blown crossover, I'll throw it out here. What if a guy like Batman, with no superpowers, dedicated to fighting crime, somewhere along the way, decides to do the right thing and save another human being and expose himself to gamma rays? And then at inopportune times, when he's not able to control his anger, he turns into the Incredible Hulk and just turns into a monster that follows his every destructive desire without any of the checks and balances that Batman will put on himself when he's fighting crime. I always thought it'd be kind of interesting to see Batman struggle with his own existence because, you know, he has this monster inside of him, and once it's loose, he doesn't have control, and how heartbroken and upset he would be in real life and how determined he would be to master his anger and to live by a code and to fight crime and evil in a way that wouldn't tempt this beast out. And inevitably, the beast is going to come out, right? Because it's comic books. And we could call it the Rampaging Bat Hulk or something like that. I'm terrible at that part of the game, so shoot away at that title. But anyway, that's an idea I've had for a long time. You know, everyday street-level crime fighter, Hulk powers. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
Shadow of the Bat Hulk. There it is. You're welcome.
Man, that's actually pretty good. A crime fighter that's got to be so careful not to get too worked up.
Yeah, I like it. Bat Hulk. That's a good answer.
There's got to be a better name than Bat Hulk, but I mean, that's sort of the thing with Amalgam is that they're all really on the nose.
Well, your choice is Bat Hulk or Hulk Bat. I'll let you pick.
Well, you could probably workshop something else is what I'm
like
saying.
Like the Incredible Batman or the Incredible Hulkman.
Yes, the Incredible The Incredible Hulk Man.
I like it, Camarillo. I would totally read that. Speaking of Anthony, currently from Brooklyn.
There you got it.
What's up, nerds? Anthony currently from Brooklyn here, coming to you live from the geodesic dome deep in the heart of the Upper West Side, Manhattan.
What?
I'm amalgamating Jack Knight Starman with Richard Rider Nova, and I will now read you my cheesy notes. Jack Rider isn't what you'd call an ideal high school student. He's anti-establishment, wanting to bring a little punk back to 2016. He's far more interested in the world of yesterday than he is in the world of today, much to the chagrin of his father, Ted Rider, retired superhero Star Knight, who served alongside Super Soldier, the Human Lantern, and American Bell in the All-Winter Squadron. And why can't Jack be more like his other son, genius Davy Rider, who's following in his father's heroic footsteps as the modern-day Star Knight? But Jack doesn't have time for that. Why follow in the legacy of neglect his superhero father laid before him when there's more important things like amassing his collection of beautiful old things and hanging out with his best friends, brother and sister Caps and Ginger O'Dare? But all that changes when Jack encounters dying alien Abin Day and is gifted with the powers of a stellar Centurion Prime of the Zoan Star Corps.
Whoa.
And just in time, too, because Ted's old nemesis Sobek has one more crime wave in him, and it's just started with the murder of Davy Rider, Star Knight. Will Sobek succeed in bringing ruin to the Rider name? What part does Arch Swift, the multifaceted Diamond, play? Will Jack embrace his heroic destiny? Find out in the pages of The Man Called Star Knight. Brought to you by Dan Abnett and Annie Lanning, with art by Tony Harris and Wade Von Graubadger. Thank you.
I'd read the hell out of that.
That's a good ass book.
Yeah, that sounds like a great book, man.
That's a great pitch.
I like it.
Yeah, I like it.
I like that he wrote out the pitch and everything, thought it out. That was really good.
Man, Nova and Starman, two of my favorite things.
There you go. There you go. He's pushing all your buttons.
Yeah, he is. He sure is.
Jeffrey Ketchumall.
He knows what he's doing.
He knows exactly what he's doing. He's
pandering.
Exactly. Let's go to Jeffrey. Gotta catch him all. He might be pushing the one answer rule, he says. Well, you're in luck. We'll feel forgiving because it came in at under a minute. So.
Heck yeah.
Hello, two-headed nerd. It's Jeff Ketchum. JD, gotta catch them all. Calling in for the answer of the week. This might be a cheat, but I'm going to go for a team for my amalgam. Team Kamikaze. It's a cross of Suicide Squad and the Thunderbolts. Because why not? Led by Baron Bullseye, combination of Deadshot and Zemo, Harpy, Songbird and Enchantress, Cloud Puncher, Boomerang and Atlas, Queen Fix, The Fixer, and Amanda Waller, and then just for the obvious cash grab, and I'm sure I'm not the only one who's thought of this one, Quinpool.
Oh, come on.
Thanks, guys.
Jeff, you nailed it, buddy. Nailed it.
Except for the whole Quinpool thing. That's dumb.
No way. That's like marketing genius.
Oh, God.
I got a little excited there.
No, it's all right. I'm giving it to him because it's a team, and he did a team. That's fine with that. I'm okay. That's not more than one answer. That works. And it was short, sweet, boom. I like it. JD got to catch them all. He's always good at this. Let's go to Randy Andrews. He says, I'm back. Here's my answer. Hope you like it. I don't know if he was.
Yeah, you assholes. Hope you like it, assholes.
Greetings, Joe and Matt. This is Randy Andrews emailing in for the question of the week. This week, you asked about Amalgam Comics and coming up with our own idea. Well, guys, my idea is called Gravity Fire. He is a combination of Gravity Man and Firestar. You see, Mr. Sinister did experiments, and he merged these two together so that fire could be spread anywhere at any time through the planes of existence. Gravity Fire escaped and destroys Sinister's lab by firing it into space and keeping it ablaze until it was completely rubble. Well, that's all I could come up with this week, guys. Check out my soundtrack blog at soundtrackalley.net, and my music this week is Spaceship in the Dark by Joey Carbone from the Project Echo soundtrack. See you guys in a week. Bye for now.
I've never seen Project Echo, but man, that sounds awesome.
Who is Gravity Man?
I don't know.
From Mega Man?
Could be.
We didn't tell. I did tell him any two fictional universes.
Yeah, that could be. I don't know. Honestly, I was just kind of rolling with it. The story he had was kind of cool. Mr. Sinister created him so he could like start fires anywhere within the planes of existence, which is crazy.
That's heady. I don't even.
Yeah, man.
Can't wrap my brain around that.
Damn, Rando. Jeez, dude. Thank you for your call. Always good to hear from you, buddy.
Hey, very inventive.
Yeah, absolutely. Probably the most inventive so far.
And we're glad you're back.
Ryan Mount, we haven't heard from this guy in a while. Mr. Hebrews himself.
He's too busy busting his hump for TwoHeadedNerd.com.
I get it.
Hey, it's Ryan, a.k.a. Hebrews, calling in with the answer of the week. Sorry, guys, losing my voice, so I'll keep it short. Two characters I'd put together, they'd be called the Red Soldier. And I'm talking about combining Jason Todd and Bucky Barnes into one character. If you think about it, and you put all of Bucky's type adventures, was a brainwashed spy, into Jason Todd instead of all the terrible stories we've been getting over the years, it makes a lot more sense. Maybe we don't kill off Dick Grayson in Forever Evil and he magically shows up in Spiral. What if that had been Jason Todd? Wouldn't he be a lot more tolerable character for most? I just think there'd be a lot more to go, or even as a one-shot, if you try to imagine Jason Todd taking the path that he did. After, you know, maybe he was lost in the explosion and maybe didn't die or whatever the case may be. But he could have became a soldier and we wouldn't have to deal with the crazy Battle of the Cowl or just the one that we're getting right now, which seems pretty terrible. So I don't know. I would think those two put together, if you put Bucky's backstory with a Robin that, you know, really doesn't have any place now, you'd actually get some, either a decent one shot or, you know, maybe even a character that somebody would actually read their books for. All right. That's it for now, fellas. Take care.
Sick burn, Hebrews.
Sick. Do you need some salve for that sick burn you must be feeling?
I thought he was doing a funny voice at first. Like he was like, pardon me, I'm losing my voice.
Maybe he was putting on his grim voice like Jason Todd.
I would like that Jason Todd much better than the one we have, certainly. I like the name Red Soldier better, too. That's pretty cool.
Red Soldier's a kick-ass name.
Yeah, it's better than Winter Soldier, right?
Well, Winter Soldier makes sense because of the context, but I guess Red Soldier would also make sense.
Yeah, it makes perfect sense. He's still, you know, all Soviet and stuff. Thank you for your call. Good answer. Everybody's killing it so far. Unfortunately, Zach Hollowell is about to give his call, and he warned me. It's about as perverted as it could possibly be. He actually challenged me to put it on the air. So
the Google transcript is full of words that it refused to translate.
Yeah, it put in little dashes. Okay, Zach, let's see what you got.
More perverted than the orca?
That's what he says.
All right.
Hey, Joe. Hey, Matt. How are you guys doing? This is Zach Hollowell calling in with my answer. So I pretty much instantly knew the perfect combination character. So you've got this guy named Logan, right? And he's got a mixed past. He doesn't know who he is, and he's kind of short, and it really makes him small, and it really kind of messes with him and makes him kind of an asshole. And you know, he joins a team. He's cranky all the time. He really doesn't know what to do with his life. And then one day, his team runs into this enemy called the Brood, who are these giant bugs, and something snaps inside of him. And he just starts stabbing them and stabbing them and stabbing them, much to the horror of his team. And that's what our comic's about. And our comic is called Logan, Needle Dick Bug F***er. It's based on Logan, who we all know, and Needle Dick the Bug F***er, which is a comic in 8-Ball. So It's Logan going around with his...
Oh, that's right!
And having sex with Brood forcibly until they die. You know... Deadpool's doing really well, and that's R-rated. Everyone's making a big deal about it.
Okay.
Screw that. Come on, Marvel. Let's just go straight NC-17 and see what happens.
Okay.
That's my answer. Talk to you guys next week. Bye.
Hey, count it.
The theory being, if you can make, you know, a few hundred million on a rated R movie, Well, then you should be able to make a billion on an NC-17 movie, oh, right?
Well, but I mean, Needletick Bug is like the least sexy adult comic I've ever read. But yeah, he's totally right. Yeah. Daniel Klaus is 8-Ball. I've read that story.
Yes, I have too. it counts.
I'm counting. Kudos to Zach.
Yeah, not as perverted as I thought it was going to be, but still inappropriate and totally counts. So there you go. D. Murray was going to be our first call, but he said, screw that call. I didn't like it. I got a better one. And he called in with
a mulligan
with a better one. And you can do that. We're fine with that. If you think you can do better, call us back. Do it better. Let's see what he's got.
How's it going, guys? D here, answering your question of the week. And I know I answered before with a different question. Disregard that answer completely. That was a horrible answer.
Done.
And I thought about it for a while, and I put some stuff in the forum. I put like a crap ton of answers in the forum. And I picked one answer that I grabbed from those answers that I created. And I wanted to pick The Herd. The Herd is a combination of Multiple Man and Changeling or Beast Boy. And his name is going to be Garfield Maddox. He has the power to create multiple animals of different variety. And that would be a awesome, super awesome power. Half mutant, have a science experiment put on him to create different animals when he shapeshifts. That's the answer. The Herd. Take it easy, guys.
So he's like Beast Boy, but he makes multiple creatures?
But yeah, I saw this idea on the forums. It's Beast Boy plus the Multiple Man. And so instead of creating duplicates, he just spontaneously generates whatever animals he can think of.
So he creates a rhino, and that rhino runs, and it rams a guy, and the kinetic force of that makes an orangutan, you know, and the
somebody, well, maybe, I mean, he controls it.
Somebody punches the orangutan, and he turns into an elephant, you know, and like, bam, that's pretty cool. That's very cool. I like that, D. Nice job. And
that's a good answer, D.
And your second call? Much better. You killed it, man. That was great.
I'm going to be honest with you, D. We didn't even bother with that first call. It's true. We lit it on fire.
You said ignore it. We followed your directions. That's exactly what we did.
Let me tell you a little something about D. Murray.
Okay.
That dude knows how to get people's imagination going.
Oh, yeah.
Because the thread on the forums for this question is probably the most answered thread in the history of the show.
I noticed there was a lot.
Except for the thread that we asked for question suggestions.
Yeah, I noticed there was definitely a lot.
And people are having a blast.
That's cool as hell.
And they're still doing it.
Speaking of peeps that had fun with this, our very own Wooly Toots even has his own time on the show. We call it Toots Time.
Toots Time loves this question!
I told you.
Clark never felt right in his male body, and that feeling was amplified when he got a blood transfusion from his cousin, who just happens to be an alien from the surface of the sun. Oh yeah. What? And now Clark goes by the name Jennifer Kent, and when Jennifer Kent gets mad, she turns into the savage She-Man of Steel. That's right. And this comic book will be written by Bill Mantlow, because f*** you. And it'll be drawn by, let's do covers by Adam Hughes. And let's do two short stories. The first story drawn by Frank Cho. The second story drawn by the Dodsons. You know what? That book's going to sell a bunch, and because Caitlyn Jenner is such a big thing and Woman of the Year, this book is perfect for the world of today. Yes, sirree. Come on back, Amalgam Comics. I got one for you. Yeah. Everybody loves it, right? It was really hard to do that without f***ing laughing.
The Savage She-Man of Steel. That is amazing.
It's really something.
Oh, Toots.
Woo, transsexual Superman. I love it. And it's time. It's an idea that's had its time.
Hey, if both Wachowskis can do it.
Holy crap. Kettner drew pictures. Listen,
Kettner went hog wild with this
holy
question.
Holy crap. He drew pictures. We will put these up on the forums if he has not already.
They're up on the forums.
Okay, good, good. Because these are rad. I love this. Take it away, Cat Nerd.
Imagine a world besieged by terrible and mysterious lightning storms, causing massive destruction across the globe. Billy Danvers, ace pilot and science explorer of the Fawcett Foundation, flies her invisible stealth plane, the Marvel, into a dimensional rift at the heart of the storm, trying to find the source of the mysterious phenomena. She crash lands at the Rock of Infinity, a mysterious cube-shaped structure existing in the bleed between all realities. There, she meets the ancient warlock, Shaddam, wielder of the magic cosmic. The warlock explains to Billy that he had been betrayed by his disciples in the Order of Adam, who banished his former champion, the heroic Thanagry, Shahazam, and have usurped the powers of infinity, pledging their service to the evil Thanagrian Empire, whose machinations are now bringing destruction to planet Earth. But all is not lost. As the walls of the cave crumble in around them, Shaddam reveals six gems of eternity. Billy need but say the warlock's name to access the power of the gems, gaining wondrous abilities from the new Eternals of Asgardia. The strength of Steppenwolf, the wisdom of Highfather, the stamina of Ajak, the power of Darkseid, the accuracy of Artemis, and the knowledge of Metron. Billy says the magic word and is transformed into a paragon of cosmic power. "My time is almost up," says the warlock. "Go now, my Captain Marvel, and save the Earth." Billy rockets away, escaping just in time as the Rock of Infinity implodes. She returns to Earth and discovers an invading force of the Thanagry. They are led by former pupil of the warlock, Ronan Teth Adam. Captain Marvel defeats Black Ronan, repelling the invasion and taking her place as a champion of planet Earth. Later, she teams up with Kamala Ka Adam, a teenager and Captain Marvel superfan who happens to be the Earthbound descendant of Black Ronan's ancient bloodline. Together, Billy and Kamala fight as new champions of the warlock, battling the Thanagry Supreme Mind, the Monster Society of Adelan, and Mastermind Savano. In a new ongoing series, written and drawn by me, Make Mine Amalgam.
Okay, in the notes, I am just going to write, went insane. Like, that is crazy.
So for those of you that didn't catch all of his references, what Ketnerd has done is create an amalgam, a corner of the amalgam universe dedicated completely to a mashup of the Captain Marvel lore from Marvel and the Marvel family lore from DC. So Carol Danvers, Captain Marvel, Ms. Marvel, Ronan the Accuser, the Kree, the whole deal. And on the DC side, Billy Batson, Shazam, Mary Marvel. Kamala Khan as a Mary Marvel analog is an amazing idea.
That was incredible.
And I wish I'd thought of it.
Yeah, that was bonkers and incredible. Very nicely done, Mr. Ketnerd. I demand you draw it. Just go. Just draw it. F*** it. Steal the copyrights and just start working.
He went into all of this extra detail in his email that he didn't have time for. He posted a bunch on the forums. You got to check it out. It's seriously amazing.
I loved that.
He came up with a mashup of Lockjaw and Talkie Tawny the Talking Tiger called Mr. Talkjaw.
Oh, man, that's good.
Mr. Talkjaw the Teleporting Dog Man.
Oh, I love it. I love it. I want to read this. That sounds so much more interesting than both of these things that we have regularly.
Ugh, it's so great. Wow.
Thank you, Ketnerd, as always, killing it. Now let's go to one of our older contributors, and he comes from a different age, and, you know, things were different when he was growing up. The guy's like 90, so we got to cut him some slack and understand not only is he a very old man, he's from Maine, and that place is fucking weird. Ladies and gentlemen, the Orca.
So at first I found myself wondering, if we combine Power Girl and Black Widow, will Scarlett Johansson have even bigger boobies in Avengers 3?
Wow.
The guy answers can transform reality. I might be getting a little big for my britches, or a little perverted. I can be that way once in a while. So I decided to get really high. Just chill the fuck out, you know? Once high, it came to me. Bear with me. Let's combine Frank Frazetta's Death Dealer with Ultron and Cyborg Hank Henshaw. We got Marvel in there, DC, and Frazetta kind of represents all the independents. Then let's go really crazy and instantly make this character public domain. No copyright whatsoever. Anyone can use him. With the gentleman's agreement that this unique character can only be used to kill off struggling characters or books. It's kind of breaking the fourth wall, which is getting a bit overdone lately. But it's the company definitively saying, okay, this didn't work. Let's have fun with it and have the Death Citron kill this character in the most horrific way possible. Just f***ing brutal and cathartic. They could start with that asshole Access from the DC vs. Marvel spinoff. He was lame. Death Citron's huge axe gets access to the guy's brain. We're going to have to end there. Let's kill all those queer Malcolms. Start them with Spider Boy. And remember, not just Marvel or DC could use him. Image could use him. IDW could get rid of certain My Little Ponies that irritate all of us. I'm looking at you, Twilight Sparkle. If your book just sucks or fails, it'd be the en vogue way to throw in the towel. And everyone would buy that last issue. They can all compete tooth and nail with each other on events and such, bag on each other in blogs or at cons like they do now. But when Death Citron came around, we could all just have fun and get a good chuckle. We need more of that. Kiss, kiss, boys.
I like it. It's lighthearted. It pokes fun in itself. It kills stupid ideas. I mean, what more do you need? Come on.
I'm not trying to take anything away from the Orca, but I wish I could remember. I think that I've read a story that sort of centers around a character going around and offing old bad ideas. But because I can't remember it, I guess it, all credit goes to the Orca.
Sounds familiar, though. I think I know. It does sound familiar, but I'm okay with his character doing that.
I mean, not that his idea is not good and original. I mean,
right.
Kudos for bringing back the Death Dealer.
Yeah.
But
it's impressive.
Yeah. I wish his answer reminded me of something and I can't remember all the details. Oh, well.
Well, I liked
it. I'm glad I mentioned it.
The Orca, always good to hear from you. And if you like the Orca, you can hear from him the third episode of every month, where he hosts a little segment called Take the Money and Run, where he tells you how to sell your comics for the most amount of cash. He's really good at it. And it's funny, too. Don't take it from me. Download it and listen to it yourself. And if that's not enough, take it from Damon Chan. I love this guy. He's been calling us every week. I love him.
This is Damon from Brooklyn calling in for the question of the week. This week, you asked us to put together a character who's a combination of two different characters from two different comic companies a la Amalgam Comics.
It's true.
I came up with a character called Devil Bat, who is a combination of Marvel's Daredevil and DC's Batman. The quick backstory, we have a young Bruce Murdoch, who is the son of the wealthiest lawyers in New Gotham. One night driving home from the movies, the mob orders a hit on them, and the parents are killed. However, they crash into a truck that's carrying radioactive isotopes. Bruce is blinded in this accident. However, he discovers he has heightened senses and everything. However, the biggest driving force that he feels, the biggest pain, is the death of his parents and how helpless he was to do anything. The family butler raises him, Foggy Pennyworth, who tries his best with him. But by the time his 18th birthday comes around, he realizes he has to leave and train himself so that he can do something about the murder of his parents and to prevent anything like that from ever happening to anyone again. Anyway, he goes around the world. He learns martial arts from like the best masters in the world, who teaches him to compensate, you know, for his handicap, to make use of his new abilities. And he returns to New Gotham, reclaims his family fortune, even opening up like a nonprofit organization in their name, including like free lawyers for like low income families in New Gotham. However, by night, he becomes a vigilante, Devil Bat, and even has like an arch nemesis who is called King Joker. So it's a combination of Joker and Kingpin. And he's the clown king of crime, as they call him in the city. But yeah, that's about it. That's my little answer that I came up with. Hope you like, and I'll talk to you guys soon. Thanks. Bye.
Devil Bat.
I hope he looks like the Joker, but just really fat.
Yeah. It's just a big fat Joker, but he's better dressed. He wears like a
purple suit, the whole deal.
Well, it's still a purple suit and everything, but it's like really nice. It's not all torn up, you know, like the new school Joker. And he's fat and bald, but white skin, you know, and like green lips and shit. I love it.
Yeah, Daredevil and Batman. That's a good mix.
The Devil Bat. I love it. Skyler Walker hits us next. He has also become a stalwart. Him and Damon both started calling right about the same time. I love it. New callers.
Bum 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 bada bum 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 bada bum 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 bada bum bum. After seeing firsthand what terrible grief his weapons had inflicted throughout the world, famed industrialist Tony Stark vowed to protect the Earth by making himself the final weapon. But he quickly realized one man in power armor wouldn't suffice. After seeding the planet with his patent extremist nanotechnology, coordinated by the Brother Jarvis satellite, Tony merged with this network to fight the world that's coming.
He's the one man.
Are you ready? He is omniscient. He is omnipresent. He is omni. The one man now iron. I don't know. Acronyms are dumb.
Was that it?
That was it.
Man. Iron Man plus OMAC. Awesome.
Yeah, I love that.
Awesome.
And I love that he just gave up in the end. Ah, screw it. The acronym's stupid. Thank you, Skyler. Yeah, Iron Man and OMAC. That's a fun one. So it's like the Iron Man armor would have a mohawk, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, come on.
Obviously.
Yeah. Give me a break. Nate Aguilar. He says thanks. And then he says, have a great show. What a guy. So sweet.
Nate. We are.
Take it, Nathan.
Hello, nerds. Nate here, calling in with my answer to the question of the week. Amalgadoodle edition. Now, I'm not sure if I'm doing this right, but here's what I came up with. Imagine, if you would, the last son of Krypton shot across space from a dying planet to what would hopefully be a safe haven, where he could grow up loved and become a shining beacon of hope for a world that at times seems not to deserve a hero as great as he. Now imagine something went wrong. Instead of landing in a rural area of Kansas in the DC universe, he's dropped smack dab into the living room of a couple of low-level agents of a New York crime family in the Marvel universe. So he's not raised with wholesome Midwestern values, he's raised into a life of crime and greed. His human persona, using his enhanced senses and intelligence to manipulate those around him, while his super strong alter ego uses his physical powers to crush any who oppose him, to quickly rise up and eventually take over all of the major organized crime syndicates in the city. The real genius behind this villain is that he's smart enough not to show how tough he actually is. It wouldn't do him any good to go all world domination on everyone and end up on the radar of any supergroups like the Avengers or the X-Men. He's content to run a New York and its underworld, fighting against the likes of Spider-Man and Daredevil, who unfortunately have no idea how outgunned they are until it's too late. So if you haven't figured out my Labradoodle yet, it's a combination of Superman and the Kingpin. Savvy crime boss extraordinaire and ridiculously overpowered heavy hitter in one package. And as for a name, that's tougher. I was thinking like King Super, but no, I don't think that would work. The Super Don, closer. Or maybe he could just paint himself orange and call himself the Almighty Drumpf. Who knows? I'll leave that up to other people. Well, there it is. Remember
Super
to get
King,
out there and vote.
Super everyone. King.
Whoa, thanks whoa. A lot and have a great day.
Super King. Yeah, Super King.
Here's the deal. That was not an amalgam. What Nate described was a very compelling intercompany crossover. But I think we could, with a few slight tweaks, make it into an amalgam.
No, I think he got there. He combined the origin of Superman with the origin of the Kingpin.
Except he talked about Superman's rocket leaving one universe and then just like living in the Marvel universe with the normal Marvel characters.
Sure. I mean, you know, whatever.
It would require some tweaks.
Yeah.
But I love that idea of the crime boss that is just so cunning and crafty. He's got all this success, but nobody really knows how powerful he is until it's too late.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
That's super cool.
Yeah. Nicely done, Nate. You guys are all killing it. It's going to be really hard to pick my favorite. Let's go back to our Google voice line. Mr. Jeff Hitt, good friend of ours. We love him. The great big sweetheart. I'll tell you what, that guy.
Joe and Matt, Jeff Hitt, not a lot of time getting right to it. So my amalgam team is the X-Teens, consisting of their leader, Professor Bruce Xavier, a master planner, former adventurer, and all-around jackass. His ward, the One-Eyed Wonder, a combination of Robin and Cyclops, an acrobat leader who's an orphan, but also has a secret weapon. Beast Machine, an amalgamation of cyborg and beast, a cybernetically enhanced super athlete. Angel Fire, an amalgamation of Starfry and Angel, an extraterrestrial flying bohunk. Raven Girl, combination of Raven and Marvel Girl, daughter of the Fire Lord. She may destroy us all when she becomes Dark Raven. And then the Ice Beast, a shape-shifting temperature monster. And then, not just them, but the team they fight, the Mutant Brotherhood.
Oh.
Combination of Brain and Magneto would form to be the Magnet Mind, a brain with the power to move metal. Monsieur Mortimer, a mutated beret-wearing toad.
Wow.
Which is, of course, Monsieur Mala and Toad.
Love it.
Madame Rogue and Scarlet Witch would become the Rogue Witch, witch assassin with daddy issues. General Immortus, the General Immortus and Jason Wingard mastermind, would be Immortus Wingard, a tactical genius with the ability to sow illusions against his foes.
Whoa.
And finally, Garguax and Quicksilver would form into Pietrux. He may be fat and slow, but his alien clone army will overrun you. And then no Teen Titans or X-Men team would be complete without some kind of crazy genetic mix-up. And that would be the Deathstroke Mr. Sinister, and with appropriate 90s name, Sinistroke and his Ravagers, a team of mutated monsters, and his right-hand lady, Terra Polaris, as Mineralis, who has absolute control of minerals and ores. Later, guys.
Oh,
crazy.
Sinistroke. That's disgusting.
Jeff, you're a family man. I expected better.
Yeah, that's all I took away from that was Sinistroke. I really like it. Took the Teen Titans and the X-Men, smashed them together. Perfect.
The X-Teens. Yeah, perfect.
Let's go to an oldie, but a goodie. He's been here virtually since day one. Mr. Harvey Locust.
Ooh. Creepy.
Amalgam Comics presents. From the mind of Harvey Locust.
You should have said the twisted mind.
What happens when an innocent Australian mother loses her only son to smut and drugs?
Ugh. I hope that's a maraca.
Oh my god!
Mom, it's not what it looks like.
Jimmy, what's happening?
I hate you.
Then turns to an organization bent on domination.
Sophie? No, S-O-O-F-I. Save our offspring from indecency. Where we wear devil masks and scare kids to the straight and narrow.
But then, on her way home, gets bitten by a radioactive Tasmanian devil.
Son of a bitch!
I feel stronger, faster, and sharper. Look out, you smut dealers and drug fuckers. Here comes
Sinister Devil.
Coming soon from Amalgam Comics.
I'll give him a perfect
Sinister
10.
What devil?
Sinister Devil. I'll give him a perfect 10 for drama and timing. That was incredible.
Oh my god. Okay, so in his email, he said, I basically just went to the obscure Marvel and DC wikis.
Sinister Sophie is one of them.
And I found the two He randomly looked up characters.
Yes.
So Sinister Sufi is a real character from the Marvel Universe.
So it looks like a Howard the Duck bad guy.
From the pages of Howard the Duck, right.
Okay. Hugh Dawkins is the other one.
The Tasmanian Devil from DC.
Oh, I like that. Okay. Wow.
What a just wonderful way to end.
Like if this wasn't hard enough, he went and picked completely random ones. That is impressive, sir. Harv was our final call, which means,
oh man, all the points to Harv for having an actual radio drama.
Yeah, that was great. That was totally great. But now we got to pick our favorite. And I'm saying, I don't think anybody did more work than Cat Nerd.
Yeah, I mean, come on.
That was insane. Totally.
I mean, nuts. Harvey Locust was pretty impressive there at the end.
He was good. He was good. He was good. And I liked Hebrews' Jason Todd, Bucky Barnes, Red Soldier. That was fun.
All of these were great.
Bat Hulk, Super Squirrel was an awesome way to start. Oh, man.
The X-Teens.
Yeah. The Devil Bat.
Anthony from Brooklyn's Starman Nova mashup. These are all wonderful ideas.
Yeah. Toots Transsexual Superman. Man.
The Super She-Man of Steel. Yes.
Something. I got to give it to Cat Nerd, though.
But yeah, I mean, Kettner just like
did the work, man.
He poured his heart and soul into that.
Did the work.
He said he stopped working on his graphic novel to do this.
Wow. Well, I hope we don't get him in any trouble. Joe Patrick, tell me your amalgam. Let's hear it. You've got one. Let's hear it.
I do. But I just kind of assumed that the listeners would go crazy with the primary characters. So I decided early on that I was going to create a supporting character. And so I looked deep into my memory banks to come up with two characters. One is well-known, Flash Thompson, Spider-Man's biggest fan.
Okay.
Former nemesis of Peter Parker, high school bully turned good guy, you know, soldier. Now he's Agent Venom off in space with the Guardians of the Galaxy.
I don't think he's Agent Venom anymore. He's just Space Venom, I guess.
Well, I don't think they call him Space Venom either. I think he's just called Venom.
I call him Space Venom.
Okay. But I'm not dealing with any of the Venom aspects. I'm dealing with Flash Thompson as Superfan.
Okay.
So that's my Marvel side.
All right.
On the DC side, I took an old Jack Kirby character from the pages of Mr. Miracle named Funky Flashman. And Funky Flashman's deal was that he was a con man. And so his deal was that he would like sink his hooks into, for example, Mr. Miracle, and sort of like lead him on this path to riches. Like he convinced him on to do this ridiculous endorsement scheme for a cleaning product, and they went on an intergalactic marketing tour. But the thing is that they were never going to get out from their contract because they had to sell so many items.
Bummer.
Yeah, I mean, it was going to be, it was essentially like indentured servitude.
Like Amway, if they were like really criminals.
So, yeah, so Funky Flashman is this this huckster who is also kind of smarmy and not, I mean, he's kind of a bad dude.
Funky Flashman. I love this.
So I am combining these two characters into Funky Flash Thompson, who is Spider-Boy's best friend.
I'm going to play super funky music under this whole thing.
Oh, please do. He's Spider-Boy's not best friend, but biggest fan. And though he does seem well-meaning at first, you get the idea that he's trying to convince Spider-Boy to use his fame for monetary gain.
Sure, I get it.
And he's got a secret agenda that's not really on the up and up. Even though he seems very genuine and he seems like he wants to be a friend and a genuine fan, he's really manipulating and guiding things behind the scenes and doing things that are probably not okay in a legal sense. Never really to the extent, like, he's not working for Darkseid or anything. Funky Flashman was not, like, evil.
Right.
But he was kind of a bastard.
He was kind of a scoundrel.
A scoundrel, right.
Sure.
And so I think that Spider-Boy, who is an amalgam of Spider-Man and Superboy, But the version of Superboy that relies heavily on Jack Kirby's 70s DC creations, like Project Cadmus.
Right.
And so I think it's an excellent fit for Spider-Boy to have a character like Funky Flash Thompson.
Okay.
Leading him down a dark path, only to eventually learn the error of his ways. Funky Flash Thompson.
I love it.
He's my amalgam.
Okay. My amalgam comes from something, and I think there's a serious lack of in both the Marvel and DC universe, and that is giant robots. I love giant robots. So I started thinking about this. I also love martial arts comics and martial arts themed characters. Shang-Chi, Iron Fist, King Tiger, Lady Shiva, obviously all the Bat characters. So I decided to take these two things that I'm crazy about and crush them into one. And what I did was I am taking Iron Fist and amalgamating him, if you will, with Steel, John Henry Irons. But instead of Steel wearing essentially what appears to be a human-like steel suit with an S on it, he is a martial arts expert that trained with the badass martial arts monks of Khun Parabat to learn martial arts, right? To focus his chi. And in doing so, discovered this prophecy of this giant dragon that's going to come and destroy the world, right? And it has happened before in time, and there were other of these Iron Fists, or we'll call them Steel Fists. There are these other Steel Fists out there that have fought the dragon to a tie, right? They never beat it. They fought it to a tie, and they became the Steel Fist. The dragon left, right? Well, every time the dragon leaves, it gets more powerful. And when it comes back, it's larger. And this time, when it's coming back, it's going to be absolutely huge. I mean, massive, like Godzilla size. So a martial artist on his own is not going to be able to take on the giant dragon, right? He has to build a giant robot suit that he can perform his martial arts in. It just so happens our boy John is a robotics expert and martial arts badass. So time to build a robot similar to what the steel suit looks like, but a little more Big O-ish, if you will. Go, you know, mecha, Japanese sort of mecha looking. And he calls it Steel Fist, and he calls it Steel Fist because it has a gigantic, like larger than it needs to be, right fist. It is, right? Big O was a cartoon, an anime for a while, for those of you who don't know. And the pilot would sit in the seat, and he had these two joysticks, and he would crank one of the joysticks back and then throw it forward as a punch. And Big O would just like do this punch with like a jet on the back of his arm, like punch straight through things. Only Steel Fist, when he charges up, right, during battle. So he charges up because this is like the ultimate weapon that he's got, you know? And so he can't just fire it all the time. There's, you know, repercussions for doing this. So John Henry Rand has to like focus, and he's like mentally tied into the armor, just like Pacific Rim, sort of, where they're telepathically, you know, connected to it.
They're in the wave or whatever the
right,
it's called.
Right. So he has to like concentrate and focus to power up while he's like defending himself and stuff. And then he can fire the steel fist off, like literally shoot the steel fist to punch straight through enemies and stuff. So the first storyline is all John Henry Rand training and learning this prophecy, building the suit, getting ready and saying, all right, you know, I got to save the world from this thing. Nobody believes that this interdimensional dragon thing is going to come, but it does. It tears a hole in reality. It's attacking New York City. It's absolutely terrifying. The superheroes don't know what to do. Steel Fist shows up. Huge action, gigantic fight, giant monster versus giant robot. And Steel Fist kills the dragon. Like, you know, he's getting overwhelmed and fires his fist straight through the dragon's chest, releasing the dragon's spirit or whatever, right? And he wins. Everyone's like, oh man, Steel Fist, you're a hero. Oh, he did it. And he's like, I did it. I saved the earth from whatever. Here's what he doesn't know. All the other Steel Fists, when they fought the dragon to a draw. Nobody beat it. And in him killing the dragon, he immediately catches the attention of all these other giant monsters living both on the planet and in other realities waiting to take over, going, oh, look at this. There's actually some competition here on Earth, and John Henry Rand is forced to become Steel Fist, monster fighter and protector of Earth. Giant mechanized armor driven by big, bad, black Kung Fu master John Henry Rand, whose only sin was saving the planet.
You incorporated a minority in with your amalgam and you still managed to appropriate Asian culture.
Yeah, go figure.
Good job. So, okay, he can fire his fist from his body.
Mm-hmm.
Like it leaves his body.
The steel fist, it shoots off. Bam! It's like his ultimate weapon.
I don't know if you know this about me, but the ability to fire one's fist from their body like a rocket is my favorite superpower.
It's also one of mine, and it comes from the Mazinger toys of old. Those 80s toys where they had like Mazinger Z, and you could like raise the arm up and you pushed a button on the elbow and it fired the fist off. And I was just like, that is about as cool as it gets. Toys will never be cooler than this.
So what you're saying is he can charge up his fist like unto a thing of steel.
Yes. And shoot it off to like knock through a giant monster or knock through another robot or, you know.
Which doesn't seem that impressive considering he's a 60-foot tall robot probably already made of steel.
No, he's a total badass. Yeah. I mean, like, but that's like a last ditch weapon. That's like, okay, you asked for it. Here comes the steel fist, you know?
Gross. Bend over. Here comes the steel fist.
Boom, here it comes. Great answers from everybody. You guys were super creative. This was so much fun. Let's keep the posts going. This is so much fun to read on the THN forums. And I'm going to go answer a couple of those as well, because like I've got a bunch more ideas after I came up with that one. But the good news is we get to do this again next week. We've got another question. Joe Patrick, what is it?
Hell yeah, we do. Oh, real quick, I just want to point out that Jesse Kiefer was on the verge of Goocher status because we picked him for favorite caller 2 weeks in a row.
That's true. He did not call in this week.
And he did not call in this week. Not only did he get favorite caller 2 weeks in a row, but we both picked him two weeks in a row.
Yeah. Thereby losing the ultimate Goocher status.
He lost out.
Wow. He would have been our
way to go, coach. Birthday boy.
Yeah. Thanks for paying attention, Jess. Wow.
This week's question came from the Goocher of my heart, Wooly Toots. He wants to know, what are your new comic book day rituals? Do you get coffee at the same place before you get your books? Do you take the day off of work for it? Do you go at the same time every week during your lunch break? Do you just go whenever the heck you have time? Do you have a pull file? Do you even bother with a pull file?
Do you go at all? Are you all digital? Do you have, like, maybe you're at home and you have something before, like, you do something before you download all your books? You know, that counts too.
Yeah. So, new comic book day rituals. Hit us.
Love it. We'll have another Two-Headed Nerd comic book podcast going up this weekend. In the meantime, if you're waiting, go to the forums. Take place in D. Murray's bracket challenge. This week, it's still going on.
We're in round two right now. And it is Blackest Night versus Civil War.
Blackest Night versus Civil War. So that's this week's. Get in there. Vote. It's THN March Madness. And it's been a ton of fun. And make sure, if you're going to vote, talk too. Tell us why. Get in there and talk. Be like, you know why I'm going with Civil War? Because Blackest Night was a ridiculous rainbow coalition of crap or whatever, you know? Talk some smack. Let's hear it. Can't wait. The good people at Harry's have an ad.
Right now, I believe that it's tied right now.
Are you serious? Wow. That is pretty cool. All right, dudes. You heard it here first. Head there and check it out. We'll have, like I said, another show coming this week. Another answer of the week next week. Thank you so much for playing. If you haven't played before, we'd love to hear from you. Our resident Alec Baldwin AI that controls the ziggurat and all its systems is going to tell you how to get a hold of us next. So respect him and he'll respect you. For now, this is the Two-Headed Nerd signing off.
Namaste, bitches.
You do know why these two love the idea of character amalgamation, don't you? Of course, it's because they literally want to be conjoined so they can live out their adult child lives together. Which could be a real problem when one of them chokes on a Lego and dies. If you'd like to answer the question of the week, you can leave Joe and Matt a message at 402-819-4894. or send your MP3 answer to twoheadednerd@gmail.com. Remember to share the air and keep your answer under 2 minutes, please.